We're satisfied with Jesus. Amen. Those who have received the free gift of eternal life, amen, that's satisfaction unto them. Amen. Nothing else can satisfy us greater than that.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's turn our Bibles to the Word of God of Luke.
Luke,
the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 33.
Amen.
I just praise God for this opportunity today to speak to his people. I thank God for my church family. Here at Great Commission, we are an outreach ministry and we reach out. So I'm thankful for those here, thankful for those at the sound of my voice. You know, I'm thankful for those who wanted to come. There's some folks wanted to be here today and they just couldn't. It's many times I've been at work wanting to be here. Amen. I really did.
Amen.
Let's pray for those folks. It's many folks that's at the fishing hole, though.
Amen.
And they could be here, but they're not.
Amen.
Let's pray for those folks also.
Amen.
We're going to read the word today. We have a lot of different resources here. We have brand new tracks. Brother Tony blessed us with some brand new tracks. They're over there. We have a CD ministry around town, and all these things are free. All these things are free under the public. We do not sell them at all because we believe as we receive, God will bless us. He will give us the increase. Wherever God's work is being done, God will provide for that work. All through the Bible, he has shown that, wherever his work is being done, his way, he provides for that. Right? Amen. Amen. So let's go forward and read Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 33, and then we'll go into prayer. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, at lest any times your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unaware. For a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of this whole earth. That's everybody, ain't it? Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Say escape. All these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, dear Lord. We thank you for your presence at this time, dear Lord. We ask that hearts be softened, ears be opened, and we pray that your spirit convicts and reveals everything that you intend to be revealed today, dear Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here we're at Luke and we see Jesus talking, and he's more than less or more just giving a warning. And it says here back in 33, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's truth. When all this is gone, his word will still be here. And we will still be accountable for his word. Amen. And take heed to yourselves, lest any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come up unawares. He's warning the people that your heart can be overcharged. It can be overfilled with overindulgence and drunkenness and the cares of this life. It can take you over and it'll creep up on you. And when it creep up on you, it will come as a snare shall it come unto all the people on the earth. So watch out, therefore, and pray always that you may account it worthy to escape. Escape all things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We want to be found worthy to escape. And that's the theme of God's word today. A need for escape. There's a need for escape today. We have to escape. And Jesus said that we can get distracted with the emotions, the fullness of our heart's desires. the cares of this world.
Yes.
And we will be caught slipping.
Amen.
Because after all that has passed away, God's word will still stand, and we will be accountable to that word before the Son of Man. There's a need to escape. Amen. Escape what? What are we escaping? I mean, we Bible students, so we ask those type of questions. I mean, Jesus that came in here, preached, and he talking about escaping. Escaping what? Let's go to Hebrews 2.
Okay, Hebrews 2.
And we will find out the need to escape.
Amen. Hebrews 2.
There's a need to escape that we all, that's it, everybody on earth now. So that's everybody. We have a need to escape.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hebrews 2.
Okay.
2 and 2. Hebrews 2 and 2 and 3. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So we see once again, his word is coming into play, and it's a key to escape. And right here, we're escaping the recompense of our duties, of what we've done against the Lord. Amen. There's a need to escape. Let's look at it in Proverbs. Proverbs says it another way.
Okay, Proverbs. All right. Praise God.
Because a lot of us, we believe that there's no need to escape.
That's true.
Right. We're happy where we're at.
Uh-huh.
We're doing our own thing.
Right.
But Christ said there's a day that we're going to stand before the Son of Man.
Amen.
It's going to come unawares.
Unaware.
And we will be accountable for the word that has been spoken. Proverbs
19:5.
Proverbs 19:5. Proverbs 19:5 reads, a false witness shall not be unpunished. A lot of us think that we can get away with things. I mean, nobody saw it. Why can't I get away with it? Am I right? A false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaketh lies shall not, there go that word again, escape. Amen. But escape from what? At 12 tells us. The king's wrath is as a roaring lion, but his favor is a dew upon the grass. We have to escape our king's wrath.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
There's something to escape. And there's a need of escape today.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. But Romans puts it plain. Romans is one of my favorite books.
Yes, Lord.
I enjoy reading. So let's go to Romans 2.
Okay. Romans 2.
In Proverbs, it was the question, do you think a liar or a person who has a false witness is going to escape? You think he's going to get out of here scot-free?
Oh, no.
Is that what you think?
No.
He has to escape.
That's right.
Let's do Romans 2.
Okay.
Romans 2:2. Romans 2:2.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask another question. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to what? The truth. So once again, his word is coming into play. His word is involved in this escape plan that we need. Amen.
Amen.
God is according to truth against them which commit such things.
Yes.
And thinkest thou this, O man that judgeth them which do such things and doeth the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God?
Amen.
Do those who judge think that they won't be judged by the same thing? And just because they judge, do they feel that they're going to escape the judgment of God?
No.
There's a need for escape.
Amen.
So we know that there's a need for escape. for all. And it's to escape God's wrath.
Yes.
Right? Right? But let's look at they. Right here they say, but we are sure, back in 2, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them. Who is them? Mm-hmm. I mean, who are these people?
Right.
Let's look. I'm trying to make it plain for y'all today.
Amen.
Romans 1:28. Let's look at 1:28 just over here. We're going to find out who them. Who them are that needs to escape. Amen. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to those things which are not convenient. And these are them. These are the people who need to escape God's wrath. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, you know, in your heart, check the one that apply to you. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, investors of evil things, disobedient to their parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, they're implacable and unmerciful. These are the ones who need to escape. They have a need to escape. These are the lost. Amen.
Amen.
So we see. But what I want you to see about this is that he didn't say Jew or Gentile. He didn't say black or white. He characterized these people by their actions, by what they did. That's how we can involve the whole earth. Because I know this somebody's ticket. Something in this list is somebody's ticket. Do you see what I'm saying? But I'm saying that to say that God doesn't look at the flesh. He looks at what you do. He doesn't look at who you are. He looks at the habits, and these habits deserve the wrath of God. And there's a need for escape. Do we see that? Okay, now I'm, you know, people hear and in the sound of my voice, somebody's saying, well, Kelvin, Christians do that. Christians do that, don't they, Kelvin? I mean, we do have Christians that struggle with things. That's what we're in the bondage breaker during the week. Don't Christians do that? So what about the wrath there, Kelvin? Well, Hebrews answers that. Let's go to that. Let's go to Hebrews. Amen. Amen. We go to Hebrews 12.
Okay, good.
Hebrews 12. And we're talking about those that need to escape. But one may say that list that you just brought up, Kelvin, you know, I know some Christians that deal with that too. I mean, and that's fair, right? Yeah, that's fair. So let's talk about that. We're going to talk about the difference in the lost and believers that this happens with. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:5 read, and let's listen to this. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you unto you as unto children. Key word, children. My son, despise not that thou the chastening of the Lord, not faint when thou art rebuked of him. His children shouldn't despise chastisement. We shouldn't. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasten and scourge every son whom he receiveth. And if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. So we have to be honest. We have to give a balanced message that sin is part of a believer's lives and an unbeliever's life. We deal with sin as believers and we deal with sin as lost people. But the difference is because God does not let sin slide. But God deals with his children as children and he chastises us. Chastisement is how God deals with his children as believers. And a lot of us are dealing with chastisement now and don't even know it. There's a lot of issues in our lives. There's a lot of issues in church. that God is chastising us about because we're dealing with sin.
Amen.
So, but in today's modern message, they would say that, you know, God has given his children a pass. His children a pass on sin. But no, God deals with sin in a believer's life. And he deals with it through the mode of chastisement. Amen. Because we're what? We're children. And a loving father chastises his children. Amen. He doesn't chastise bastards. And anyone who's not saved today is a bastard. They're not here. They are of the devil, their father. Now, you may say, Kelvin, that's rough. That's a rough word. That's a rough word, but it's true. But if you think about it, we are guilty of doing the same thing. As parents, we're guilty of doing the same thing. I'm going to help you. Mama, Bobby Ray down there with them boys, and I think they fighting. You go get Bobby Ray. He my child. You go get him. I don't want him down there with them other children. Those children down there, they children of wrath. They're children of disobedience. But I want my child away from them children. And when I see Bobby Ray, I'm going to whoop him. Ain't that the same way God is dealing with us? I don't want him with them children down there. I told him don't go down there, and I'm going to whoop him whenever I get my hands on him. Hadn't Mama said that? Bobby Ray down there with them Johnson boys. Them boys, they ain't my boys. I want my boy. I'm concerned about my child. Right? I'm concerned about my child, so you get him back down here, and I'm going to deal with Bobby Ray. Them other boys, heathens. Them Johnson boys, they heathens. I don't care about them. I care about my Bobby Ray. Isn't that God? So God deals with us. He deals with believers. He deals with our sins. So we don't get a free pass as believers. But the modern gospel message, I say the modern, it's modern. Somehow it had been modified. This modern gospel message make it seem like he don't deal with sinners and believers who sin. But he does, and he does it through chastisement. But the difference in that is that we're not guilty of sin anymore. We have been relieved of the guilt of sin, but we deal with the consequences every day. And God deals with our sins as believers. But he deals with the lost differently. And I'm going to show you how. So let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans again. So we see that God has not given a pass to anybody about sin. Amen. But he deals with the believer a little different. Let's go to Romans 2 again. We know who they are. We know this behavior that is facing a wrath. And this behavior comes from the world. And Jesus said in Luke that all these things of the world will deceive you, because one day all that's going to pass away. And now it's just me and you. Now what? You have no escape. And you need to escape. You need to escape the wrath of God. Amen. So let's look at Romans 2. Romans 2 and 5. And this is how he deals with unbelievers. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. They preach grace and a loving God today, and he is. But they preach loving grace in today's message as if God has forgot. And God hasn't forgot. God hasn't forgotten. God is a gracious God. He's a loving God. But what you fail to realize for those who are lost, who still need an escape, they are treasuring up that wrath. They are storing it up. And one day, when they stand before Jesus, it's going to have to be cashed in. Amen. But see, Jesus has taken the guilt of sin from us. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And he's still chastising us for the consequences of our choices. But that hasn't happened with the unbeliever. One day he's going to be found guilty. And then all those deeds, all those things that he has stored up, he's going to have to cash in.
Amen.
Amen.
That sounds foreign, doesn't it? How would a loving God do that? But that's the Bible. So look at how sensitive this judgment is. I mean, God tells us about wrath, but I mean, just how bad will it be? Amen. Let's look at 6. Romans 2:6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So we see that God fair about it, right? Whatever you done is what's going, is what you gonna get, right? Amen. We see that. So let's look at how it's gonna be distributed out. Let's go to Matthew. We're looking at Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 12. Okay. Matthew 12. We're talking about just how sensitive this wrath and this judgment is going to be from God, because there is a need for escape.
Amen.
Matthew 12:36. Matthew 12:36. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12, what? Yeah, Matthew 12 and 36? 37. Yeah, okay. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. God judges everything. God sees in a man's heart, and he not only sees what a man physically does, but he sees within a man's heart. That's right. And we have to escape that. We have to escape that. Now, you may think that you can do that in your own self, right? A lot of people do that. A lot of people come and hear the word and say, hey, you know, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start selling Girl Scout cookies. I'm going to start doing whatever. Don't it? Don't they say that? But Matthew 12:43 says that that's not going to work, right? Let's look at 12:43. And I'm going to show you that you need another type of escape. Because you can escape on your own. And you will come here and hear the word, feel the conviction of the Lord, and you'll straighten up. But you'll straighten up within your own power. And straightening up within your own power ain't going to work. Hebrews 12:43. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth empty. Can't be empty. We got to have somebody to prevent that from happening again. Amen. Swept and garnished. Now you cleaned it up. I ain't going to do it no more. I'm going to do some volunteer work. You didn't change your attitude, but it's nothing there to protect you.
Amen.
Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. You leave here and you feel good. You done heard the word. You motivated. I'm going to go back out there. Then it seemed like temptations hit you 2 times. Hits you times 2, doesn't it? Especially when you're unprotected. You don't have a strong man within your soul to protect you. Amen? God looks within us deep. He looks within us deep and he sees that it's still not enough. Amen? We see that in the Bible. We see people who have been around the Lord and experienced different things of witnesses. And it just got worse for them as they went on. Pharaoh, right there, witnessing all the works of the Lord. He never conceded, submitted to the Lord. People around him was reverencing the Lord of the Bible. He kept doing his thing. And you see what happened to him.
Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar saw the wonders and the witness of the Lord, didn't he? And you know it got worse for him. He never submitted. Judas Iscariot, side by side with Jesus. He never submitted. It got worse and worse for him, didn't it? So we see that we're under the wrath of God and we need to escape that. And we see that what we do in the flesh is not going to work. We can't do it in our own power. So that means my escape has to be perfect. Amen. When we look at the movies and we see the little penitentiary guys talking in the cafeteria, and they got an escape plan, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they gonna get out. You know, I done told Shifty Larry about it, and my girlfriend, she gonna be waiting on us at the such and such. And their plan has to be perfect. But it never is. Somebody always drops some. Somebody ain't in place. And they always get caught. And it's worse on them after that. Is it not? So if we're going to leave the deceitfulness of this world, if we're going to escape God's wrath, our escape has to be
perfect.
We have to have a perfect escape. Amen. We have to, because God looks at us so deeply. He done saw everything I did. He knows about what I didn't do, about what I was going to do. And he judges that against the word, because the word is the only thing that's not going to pass. Amen. I done had my fun. I done did my thing. Right. And now all that's gone. And it's just me and him. I need to escape. And my escape needs to be perfect. So let's see what that perfect escape looks like. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Boy, we know that we all in trouble. Jesus then warned us to escape. We got to get up out of here, y'all. But we see that since God sees us and looks at us so deeply, that it ain't no do-overs now. So our escape has to be perfect. Right? It has to be so perfect that my past doesn't matter. Amen. I'm just telling you how deep God gonna look at me. Right? I gotta escape from that. As ugly as my past is, he done saw me. How am I gonna get out of it? That's why my escape has to be perfect. So first, I got to escape from my past. Amen. Well, let's look at Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him.
Before the foundation,
before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This went down before the beginning. In the beginning. But it says before that. In the beginning, the foundation was laid. Was it not? But before the foundation, God chose me. He had in his mind about me. So that means my past is not involved. My past can't be involved if before the clock even start ticking, he picked me. That's how we can escape from our past. Amen. Because before the beginning, before the foundation ever laid, before time ever started, God had me in mind. Did he not?
He did.
So we can escape our past through the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Do we see that? Okay, well, that takes care of my past. But what about my present? I'm in the mix now. I mean, I'm doing it right now. Well, let's look at 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will again, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Right now, while yet I'm a sinner, his blood is flowing and his blood has forgiveness for me. So no matter what I'm doing right now today, it can be forgiveness in that blood of the riches of his grace. Now, if God's riches of his grace run out, then maybe, you know, my present sins may snag me, but that ain't going to happen. His grace is unlimited according to his riches of his grace. I mean, if God ever go broke, then we in trouble. But he's the owner of all. Amen. And I know he has what it takes in his riches of grace to pardon my present sins. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Well, we still got one more thing to deal with. And what's that? It's our future. I may fly off the rails. I mean, you know, you done took care of my past. You done took care of my present. But, you know, my check may come short. I may go to work and snap. Yeah. Right? I need my future secured. I mean, I'm standing before a perfect God. Then obviously the work that I do has to be perfect. The escape that I have has to be perfect. Amen. Well, let's go to Ephesians 9. Ephesians 1 and 9. Ephesians 1 and 9. Okay. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in all one in all things in Christ, but which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. That's the future. Huh? Big mama left me something. That's the future, right? Being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be in the praise of his glory, who first, what? Trusted in Christ. That's our escape.
That's right.
Huh? In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That ensures my future. That ensures my future when I believe in the gospel, when I trust in Christ. That ensures when I stand before Jesus Christ, our judge, that that I have a perfect escape.
Amen.
Do we see that?
Amen.
I have a perfect escape. I need one because there's a need for escape. Amen. Do we see that?
Amen.
All right. So now we need an example of that. I've always, as a teacher, have looked for an example of someone escaping. There's a lot of people who needed an escape, right?
Amen.
But let's go to Mark, Mark 15. Mark 15 and 32. We're all in need of an escape, and that escape has to be perfect.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We get distracted by this world. We've been doing things in this world, and Jesus warns us that, hey, a day is going to sneak up on you to where it's just going to be yourself and the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And what are you going to do then?
Yes,
everything else then passed away.
Amen.
So now we're in a situation to where we're going to Calvary. We're talking about that perfect escape.
Amen. Amen.
That Jesus has given us.
Amen.
Amen. And he did it on the cross.
Amen.
And while he was going to the cross, there were two other people that was going with him.
Yes.
Right? And those people are a picture of the world. Amen?
Amen.
But let's look at what those people along with him were doing. Mark 15, 32. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him.
Yes.
Boy, they bold, ain't they? We going to face death. And here we are still insulting Jesus Christ, still reviling him. Amen. We're still reviling him. Amen. Now let's go to Luke 21. And we're going to see what happens at the cross. Talking about a need for escape. And we're looking at an example of where someone understood that he needed to escape.
That's right.
Amen. Luke 21. Luke 21. Let's see. 23 and 32. And there were also two other malefactors or thieves led with him to be put to death.
Right.
And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary,
yes,
there they crucified him and the malefactors, the same people that were insulting him, that were mocking him, they're right beside him, right?
Amen.
Amen. Do we see that?
Amen.
One on the right hand and the other on the left. So let's put ourselves there. We're on this big mountain. Three people are being crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is in the center.
Right.
One thief is on the left. One thief is on the right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what does Jesus say while he's in his agony?
Yes.
While the sins of the world are upon him on the cross. What does he say in 34? Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do.
Uh-huh.
Got to be more than a man who got a heart like that.
Amen.
Got to be.
Amen.
The agonizing pain that he has is enduring, he still finds time to say, Father, forgive them. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and their rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God.
Yes.
And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself.
Right.
Don't they mock Jesus the same way today?
Right.
And a superscription also was written over his head in the letters of the Greek and Latin and Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
This is the king of the Jews. Yes. Can't you see that?
Right.
Can't you just see that happening today?
Amen.
This is world history. This actually happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us.
Mm-hmm.
But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. I'm here because I'm supposed to be here. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I'm the same one.
Right.
You're a thief today also.
That's right.
We mock God.
Right.
We mock God. But one day,
yes,
one day when we were facing it, we realized that we needed to escape.
Amen.
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 Didn't the thief mock him?
Oh,
yeah. That same thief?
Yeah.
And wasn't one still mocking him?
Yeah, right.
But the other thief said, look, man, I realize I'm supposed to be up here. But this man has done nothing. I realize that I'm in need of an escape. Amen. My past have caught up with me. Right? I'm up here on the cross in the present tense. I'm up here now. In the past, I've mocked Jesus and done my own thing. And now finally, I can see in the future and I see death. I need an escape.
Amen.
He has done nothing.
That's right.
But I deserve what I'm getting.
All right.
Isn't that repentance?
Yes.
Doesn't he have a changed heart?
Yes, Lord.
Lord, please remember me.
Yes, sir.
Remember me. He called the man Lord.
Yes,
remember me.
All right.
Because I need an escape, and my escape Amen. Has to be Amen. Perfect.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Are you that thief today?
Amen.
Have you realized that in your heart that you've done things of this world?
Oh, yes.
And you realize that all the things that you've done are going to pass away.
Yes.
And there's a need to escape that.
Yes, Lord.
There's a need to escape the wrath of God.
Yes, Lord.
But the escape has to be perfect.
Oh, yes.
The escape has to be perfect because you have to escape your past, present, and future sins.
Amen.
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 But we hardly ever talk about the other thief. Are you the other thief? Now, this man is right beside him, and he's still railing on him. He's still mocking God. If you're the Savior, why don't you save yourself? Now he finds enough energy hanging on a cross to mock God.
Amen.
And he's facing death. He heard the testimony of God saying, please forgive them. He saw the man receive salvation on the other side of him. Are you the thief today? Are you that thief today? You come to church. You still rail it against God. You see people getting saved every day around you. Huh? Ask you to come to church. Try to hand you a tract. And you speak against God. Later on in that scripture, it said that it got dark. You see the darkness around you. It's getting darker and darker. You've heard the testimony of Jesus Christ. If I'm up there on the cross, I can hear Jesus Christ and what he's saying. But the same world that I conform to, they looking at me in condemnation. The same world that I conform to got me on the cross condemned, and I'm still railing on God. Amen. Are you that thief today? You're in need of an escape. Amen. It is so sad that that man was next to his escape. Next to it. And raise his eyes in a place called hell. Isn't that sad? It's sad for you too. To sit in here, hear this word, hand you a tract, invited you to church. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to submit. You hear the testimony of God. Things getting darker around you. You're in need of an escape.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
But yet you conform to this world. Amen.
Amen.
And the same world is going to condemn you.
Amen.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Dear Lord, we realize that we're in need of an escape.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And it's nothing that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We need a perfect escape, dear
Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
All these things that have distracted us from you, dear Lord, we know that they will pass away. And in the end, it will just be me and you standing before you, dear Lord. Dear Lord, convict our minds and hearts on what we need to do to escape this wrath that you have stored up for us. Dear Lord, today is the day of salvation. Bless those who need it, dear Lord. Give those boldness not to conform to this world, but escape. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.